Well, I hope we're going to enjoy this evening, and for the boys and girls here, I hope that you'll enjoy it especially. I think it's terrific that Pastor has this emphasis during the summer months, kind of a special time when we think of the children, and this year, doing the great events, big events in the Bible. And you may have gotten a hint from the special music and the announcements in the bulletin and the gushers that tonight we're going to talk about the flood. You may have gotten that. Genesis chapter 6, let's go to the scriptures. Genesis chapter 6, there we go. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look first at three verses, beginning at verse number 5, verse 5 through 7. Now, almost everyone, I mean, even folks that don't go to church, many of them have heard the name Noah, and they've heard about Noah and the ark. But sometimes, even when we go to church and we go to Sunday school, we don't really think of some of the details. And so tonight, I'm going to be emphasizing one special word several times in the message. You'll hear what that word is after a bit. One special word, and I'm going to emphasize a couple of the details of the event. Not the entire story in every detail, but a couple of the details that I think I'm fascinated with. And I'm older. You'll notice I'm not a kid. And I'm still fascinated, so I hope that I can help some youngsters here get fascinated with the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, and beginning at verse 5, the scripture says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts and his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me," or it makes me very sad and sorrowful, "that I have made them." So we have a situation, don't we? We have a situation where lots of events on the face of the earth across mankind, lots of them are disappointing the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin the lesson tonight, the message tonight. Father, I'm grateful for the grace of God. I'm grateful, Lord, that you presented your Son to us, Jesus Christ, and that because of Christ, we can know forgiveness of sin. We can know that our sins are forgiven and that we have a home in heaven forever. You've presented us this wonderful gift of eternal life because of our faith in Christ. I pray if there's a single person here tonight in the auditorium, young or old, who has not received Christ, that they might consider that this evening. And they might consider a very simple question, why not? Why not receive the grace of God in Christ? So now, Lord, we pray that you would help me as I go through the presentations, a little different style for me. So give me, good direction and clarity, and may the points that I think you would have me make, may they help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Adam and Eve were created pure and perfect in heart and mind and soul. And Pastor talked about that creation last week. But you also recall that he spoke of the fact that Adam and Eve sinned. That the only command that they had to keep, the only command was don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's in the midst of the Garden of Eden. And they failed to obey. And in their disobedience, mankind fell. And sin entered the world. And so from that point on, when they chose to sin, their purity disappeared, and the ability to sin, in fact, even enjoyment of sin, began in mankind. And more than that, we have the capacity, you and I, no matter how old you are, 6 years old, 4 years old, 74 years old, no matter how old you are, you have the capacity to plan to sin. You have the ability of thinking, day after tomorrow, I'm going to rob a bank. Now, I don't think anyone here is planning to do that, right, boys and girls? No one here is planning to do that, but it might be that day after tomorrow, I'm going to get even with somebody. Day after tomorrow, I'm angry and resentful, and I'm going to hurt them. That's a plan to sin. Well, I'd like you to consider all the people that began to grow from Adam and Eve, their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and generation after generation for 1,500 years began to be wicked on the face of the earth. So when we come to Genesis 6, we see that verse that was read, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination, every one of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. What's that next word? Continually. It wasn't even just here and there that they were evil. They were always thinking evil, always disobeying God, always doing those kinds of things that were wicked. So much so that God says repented. He was sorrowful when he saw mankind. And he determined that there'd be a judgment. And so, in verse number 11, we read this. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So when sin began to mushroom, when it began to explode, not only were people thinking evil things all the time, but when you act out evil things, things like stealing, things like lying, things like arguing, things like murder, violence begins to just sweep across the earth. We live in a pretty violent world today. We know that you want to be safe, and you are safe here. You're safe with your parents. You're safe with your church. We know that we have to be cautious at times, but God is a wonderful God. And the scripture tells us that the very reason that man could even have existed for those 1,500 and a few odd years is this special word that I'm going to emphasize tonight, and that special word is grace. Now, we can talk about what grace means. We can have some ideas of what grace means. But we have to start with this. How could we think that God would even allow all this wickedness? I mean, if you were God, if you had all the power that God has, the power of life and death, and someone hurt you badly, wouldn't you be tempted to just kind of woof, snuff them out? Wouldn't you be tempted to just judge them right then, condemn them right away, punish them harshly right now? Well, I'm glad that God is a God of grace. Even in those 1,500 years when mankind was getting worse and worse and worse and worse, the Lord was patient. And until they were evil continually, and he could no longer tolerate this, until there was no good that came out of man at all, except, we'll see, for one family, even then, the Lord had been very patient, very patient. And so, we find that that word is used to describe the situation or the character of God when God gives blessings that are undeserved, when God gives blessings that we haven't earned in any way, that we can't earn, and he gives them to us, we call that character grace. God's grace is his favor, even his forgiveness, which we cannot hope for. But he bestows it upon us. He gives it to us because he wants us to be forgiven and have fellowship with him. Grace. And the scripture says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So now we have this wonderful prophet, Noah. And I say prophet because the New Testament records that he was a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't a silent figure in the Old Testament. We have an idea that he spent all his time making this ark. But actually, he must have spent some time preaching and witnessing to others around him because he preached the righteousness of God. So we have Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what did God ask Noah to do? Let's look at the scripture in your Bible again. And it says, verse 13, And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. And in the next few verses, we find that Noah is given specific instructions. There we go. Okay. Specific instructions in how to build an ark. Now, an ark, I wonder what Noah thought when he was asked to do this. I want you to build an ark. Boys and girls, there had never been an ark before. And if we were to look at other aspects that we're not going to think about tonight, but there had never been a flood before. There'd never been a raging storm before. It's possible there'd never even been rainfall like we know it, where it just comes out of the sky in droplets, but maybe just a mist. And so Noah's asked to build something. He has no idea why. That is, he knows the purpose is that God is going to judge the world, but he doesn't know, what's this thing doing? Now, on the screen, that's actually a photograph, because there's a life-size replica that folks think might be like the original ark. And so they've built one. Some folks here in our church have visited it. But built the ark. And you may see that along the side there's a big ramp, because you can't put the door to the ark at the bottom of the ark. That's going to be in the water, right? So you have to put it up the side of the ark. And in order to get there, you have to come up with steps or stairs, or they didn't have elevators in those days. So there's a big ramp, the ark. And Noah went to work. As you heard the song, said about 100 years. From the time God said, make the ark, till the time that Noah and his family entered the ark was actually about 120. He may not have worked all of the 120, but from the time it was announced, you're going to build an ark, to the time he entered it, was a long time, 120 years. Now, there was a lot of labor involved. Noah had three sons, Shem and Japheth and Ham, and we're pretty certain that they probably helped. I know if I was doing a big project, I'd have my sons help. Some of you are little boys. You know that when dad does a big project, you like to help. Some of you little girls, when dad does a big project, you like to help. Or when mom does. And so, yeah, I'm sure they helped. And they were adults. But there was a lot of work. It's possible even that some of Noah's neighbors and friends and community could have worked on the ark. And if they did, I'm sure they heard Noah's preaching. Preacher of righteousness. 120 years to build. And then it was really big. I mean, this is not a tiny rowboat. From the photo, I know that if you have perspective, you say, yeah, I can see it's big. But actually, there are cars parked, because this is the replica. This is not Noah's Ark. There are cars parked to the right of that screen on that parking lot. You see that? You see how big that boat is compared to those cars? It was really, really big. And you know, engineers over the years and people that build boats, they've built a lot of kinds of boats. That's intentionally blank. There are some blanks. So I know I just saw a couple people looking like, the slide's not up there. It's intentional. Okay. There have been a lot of folks that have built boats over the centuries. We think of the discoveries of the New World, so to speak. Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and what did he have? He had three ships, and they had masts, and they were made out of wood, and they're not very big. They kind of bobbed on the ocean. And then we have boats that were bigger and longer and sleeker, but still had masts. And then we've got other boats, steamboats, big ocean liners. Now we've got cruise ships. Got all kinds of boats. We've got boats that are very, very fast. And we've got boats that are just absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, the colors and the gloss and the shapes, fantastic, just like this one. What's wrong? Oh,
What's that?
That's a container ship. See all those containers? You know, engineers have built all kinds of boats, all kinds of ships, big ships, ocean-going ships, aircraft carriers and destroyers and battleships for the Navy. But just think, if you want a fast ship, it's got to be kind of narrow and sleek. But if you want a ship that's big and tough and heavy and carries a load, that's the ship you want. Now, was Noah's boat going to go real fast and sleek, or was it going to carry a heavy load? Engineers have figured out that the proportion of a container ship is the optimum, the best you can get for taking the biggest weight across the ocean, but it's not pretty. The best you can get, and you know what? The ark was God's container ship. It has almost the exact proportions that current contemporary engineers say are the fantastic dimensions for carrying the most weight. Now I'm going to ask you, just think for a moment. How would Noah know to make this ship? You know the answer. God gave him the dimensions, didn't he? He gave him all the dimensions. Did Noah deserve to be spared on the ship? Even if Noah wasn't like his neighbors. No, the scripture said, remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means Noah, just like the rest of us, was a sinner. And just like you and I, we do not deserve to go to heaven. We do not deserve all the blessings that God gives us. Everyone in this room is sitting, I think, in a fairly cool room. And we've come in some kind of transportation, probably an automobile. We're all here in our church clothes. We probably had dinner at home. Some of you may have had to rush and miss dinner tonight, but be very few. Most of us had dinner. All those things are blessings. We're very blessed. We're very blessed. God's favor comes to mankind in many ways. Just waking up in the morning and breathing and getting up and going about our day, there are some folks today, if you remember the missions conference and the death calculator, there were folks today that went out into eternity. There are folks today that suffered some hardship. There are folks today that had injuries and accidents and illnesses. We're so blessed. Here we are in this auditorium. We're blessed. That's God's grace. That's God's favor. Well, there came a time when the ark was done. Just in time and ready for passengers. Now you see that big ramp? That's how the folks in Kentucky kind of pictured how the animals might come up. We don't have the dimensions of a ramp, but we do know there was a door in the ark. And it's interesting. The scripture says in Genesis chapter 6 that the Lord gave Noah some instructions. And he said, you're going to have to take a lot of things with you. Verse 19, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring unto the ark, and keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. So we now have all the flying animals, the fowl, and we have all the walking animals on the earth, and we have all the insects, creeping things. We've got all those things, maybe some salamanders and other stuff and toads and but we've got all those creeping things, and they're all to go on the ark. Now, how long do you think it would take to round up those animals? Wow. It might take another 100 years. Wow. But you know, the interesting thing, God says, Noah, I want you to take all these on the ark. I want you to gather food for them. But take all these things on the ark, all these living creatures on the ark, But there's no indication that Noah had to go somewhere to find them. In fact, have you ever tried to herd a lot of animals that don't know you? I think, just my opinion, I think God brought those animals to the ark, that he guided and directed them, and that they obeyed the Lord, and they came up into the ark without any jostling, without any argument about who's first in line or second in line, that they came up to that ark at just the right time, and they all went in. Well, what kinds of animals went in? Well, we got big animals, and we've got small animals. I figured about this time one or two kids would go, ooh, look at that. You know, I see rhinoceroses and chickens and guinea pigs and geese and all kinds of things. And I have another picture, too. And there's sheep and there's zebras and there's horses and parrots. Oh, that's the second picture of the kittens because Lynn likes kittens a lot. So I put in a second picture. That's just for you, Lynn. Okay. That's Mrs. Brown, for the little kids may not know. And so, but all these different kinds of animals, not just those few. I mean, just all kinds of animals. And the scripture says that they all went in unto Noah, verse 15 of chapter 7. And they went in unto Noah, under the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. There's something else. The scripture in chapter 7, verse 13 says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of the sons with them into the ark. Oop, there we go. Eight altogether. Eight people altogether. Now wait. Grace was the word, and it'll pop up again in a moment. Grace. But what happened to the friends and neighbors? Well, they may have helped with the ark, they may not. We're not sure. But we do know this. They did not repent. And having been invited, they did not come. And boys and girls, God's grace is at work, not only to give us parents that love us and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and not only to give us neighbors and friends and kids in the Sunday school class and teachers, and not only to give us wonderful people that care for us, but God also gives us an opportunity to know him and to come to him and say, I'm like those neighbors, I'm a sinner. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm like a neighbor, I'm a sinner. I've done some things that God doesn't appreciate. I've done things that disobey God. Maybe it's a lie, maybe it's taking something that isn't yours. Maybe it's disobeying mom and dad. Maybe it's using a cuss word you shouldn't have done. Maybe it's something. But we'll give an account for that. And so God didn't say that Noah and his family were perfect. He said that Noah and his family received his grace. And he offers his grace to us today, that wonderful word, grace. Grace. We don't deserve to be saved. No one could say, Lord, I'm so good, you have to save me. I'm so good, you must forgive me. I'm so good, I'm so perfect, I'm so pure, you've got to let me into heaven. No, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because the Bible says all of our righteousnesses, the things we think were so good, are like filthy rags. They're as filthy rags. I think Noah understood that. I don't believe that Noah thought he deserved to be spared, but that he accepted the word of God and he obeyed what God asked him to do. And what does the Lord ask us to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what he asks us to do. And then in chapter 17 and verse 16, at the end of the verse, it says this, and the Lord shut him in. Genesis 7, verse 16. The Lord, did I say 17? I'm sorry. The Lord shut him in. You know, there's no record of how that door was shut. There's no record that Noah pulled it on like a drawbridge in a castle. There's no. In fact, it implies, or it tells us by that word "shut him in," that God's the one that shut the door. Noah didn't say no to his neighbors if some had been there. It wasn't up to Noah. All the animals were sent in, all the food he had prepared and gathered and brought in. Then God told he and his family, his three sons and his wife and their wives, eight people altogether, go in the ark now. And he did. And God shut him in. It was the Lord who shut the door. It's the Lord who controls the entrance to heaven. It's the Lord that controls who's going to be forgiven and have life forever in a wonderful place with the other Christians that have also lived on this earth and also trusted Christ. It's the Lord that decides that. And so the ark was done, and the door was closed. And what happened? Well, I think you'll remember that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Rain, rain, rain. The scripture says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. You notice the ark didn't have to be in the ocean. The ark was built on land, and then when the water rose, it just lifted it up. And that ark with perfect proportions, God's container ship, it was off. Where did it go? It went wherever God directed it, because there was no direction. There was no rudder. It was just a safety ship. The container ship for all of the animals and for Noah and his family. And it began to rain. Do you like it when it begins to sprinkle? That's kind of nice at times, especially this season, because it may be a cool rain and a warm day, and you kind of say, that feels refreshing. A little bit of puddles here and there, and then it starts getting a little heavier. And now it's not so enjoyable. Have you ever been in the rain where it's coming down so hard it actually feels like it's sharp points hitting you because it's coming down so hard? And then it starts to puddle and pool, and the lightning begins, and the storms come up. I like lightning. How many here like lightning? All right. How many go out in the lightning? I don't go out in it. I just want to watch it. Okay. And the scripture says the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. The ark just went wherever the waters and current took it. And the waters got deeper and harder and faster and more destructive. But where was Noah? Where were his sons Ham and Japheth and Shem? Where were they? Were they in danger? No. Well, that ark, it was bobbing. You don't know. Don't forget that word. Grace. God's grace not only gave Noah the solution to be saved during this terrible catastrophe on the face of the earth, this judgment time, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, but God's grace carried him through the storm to safety. Always grace. We don't deserve to get carried through. So, I go to church now. Maybe you're in fifth grade or third grade. Well, I go to church, so I'm one of God's favorites. Well, it may be true that God loves you, and He's got a plan for you, and He's got it. He's got wonderful things ahead for you. But it's not really because we deserve them. We go to church so we can learn how to talk to God and learn what He has for us and how to fellowship with other Christians. But it doesn't earn us a place in heaven. No. So, how do we get to heaven? Grace. The scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're saved by the grace of God The adults here, no matter how old we are or how young we are, if we've been saved, it's by grace. The older boys and girls and the young teenagers, no matter how old they are, if they've been saved, and many have been, they've been saved by grace. God presented the plan to them. He presented the plan to me, and I saw the truth of it. And I said, yes, I'm willing to say I believe in Jesus, that when he died on the cross for me, he paid for my sins. I trust and believe in his finished work on the cross. And the promise he gave, that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Grace extends that. Grace. Well, they were on the ark for about a year. A year! Wow. You know, sometimes in a big snowstorm, you get snowed in for like 3 days. And the first day is a lot of fun. And the second day isn't so much fun. And by the third day, parents are definitely not having fun. But what if you were in your home or your apartment or your condo? What if you were there for a year and could not leave it? Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like grace. Oh, it is, because you're safe. If you left it, you'd be out in those waves. But after about a year, and one can figure out exact timings and all, but about a year, the ark came to rest, and the waters came down, and they could finally leave the ark and start a whole new mankind. Every one of us is descended from Adam. But then all through those generations, by the time this has happened, another 100 years of building, 120 altogether of preparation. So we're now at about 1,650 years after Adam, and there's only 8 people. And they're all related, well, the 4 dads are related to Noah. Noah and his 3 sons, all related. So we're also related to Noah, all of us. Wow, a year on the ark, and they were safe. And the lions didn't get mean and gobble them up, huh? And the bees didn't get loose and sting them, and the snakes didn't get loose and bite them. A whole year on the ark. And God kept everyone controlled, every animal controlled, until just the right time. And when he came out, he gave them a promise. And he said, when you see the bow, when you see the rainbow, you'll remember that I promised not to ever destroy the world by a flood again. Now, when I see a rainbow, there are 2 things that I remember. And these are the 2 things I wanted to emphasize tonight. The first was the word grace. When I was asked to teach a lesson on the flood for the kids' revival series, out of my mouth, instantaneously, without thought, came the word grace, because I associate it so strongly with Noah. And the other word, grace, the other word is the door. Because God gave instructions to build the door, and all Noah had to do to be safe, along with his sons and daughters-in-law and wife, was to go through the door. He didn't have to close the door. He just had to go through the door. And if he was through the door on the ark and the door stayed open, the ark would sink. It would fill up with water and sink. So God closed the door. But Noah's job was to go through it. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke of himself. And he said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. If we come by faith and enter into God's promises, yes, Jesus, I know I've sinned, and I believe that you died on the cross for me, and I'm trusting you with my soul. Forgive my sin. Give me that gift of eternal life, going to heaven. We've entered through the door of Jesus Christ. Those 2 words are indelibly written in my heart when I hear Noah and when I see a rainbow. Grace and the door. So this evening, let me ask, have you received Christ? Have you heard that God sent his son Jesus? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you heard that? Have you understood that Jesus died to pay for your sins so that he could offer that forgiveness? He died to pay the wage for your sins, the payment for sins, the ransom for your sins. Have you heard that? And if you have, you heard it from the Bible, because that's where it's recorded. And what I talked to you tonight about was from the Bible. And I can make a mistake here and there. I can make a spelling mistake. I could make a mistake in reading a number. I could make a mistake in understanding a sentence. But the Bible has no mistakes. And the Bible's where it declares that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, and declares that we can respond to grace by receiving Christ. Have you responded to the grace of God, the unmerited favor? Have you responded to the grace of God by asking him to save your soul? There may be some here tonight that have just gotten old enough to really understand that. There may be some that could understand it, but haven't yet responded to it. So I'm going to ask that we simply stand. Can we stand, please?